You've probably never heard of the Thomas Hardy poem, Christmas 1924. It's short and highlights the tension of Advent and Christmas. Peace on earth was said, we sing it, and pay a million priests to bring it. After 2,000 years of mass, we've got as far as poison gas. The point is, the joy to the world and peace on earth that resound in Christmas carols and hymns are confronted by the sickness, wars, and disease that we see all around us. How do we make sense of the fact that as Christians, we live in the tension of the already and not yet? That's where Advent can help us. I love that poem by Thomas Hardy. It's a little bit punchy, right? But it does highlight this great tension that we experience as followers of Jesus. Jesus Christ came into the world. We sing joy to the world, right? We have these hymns, these Christmas carols, and yet it seems like when we look around us, there is not a lot of joy, not a lot of peace. And so how, again, do we deal with this tension that we experience? Advent breaks in on our sin-torn world, just like the Lord Jesus did. And it's that period of preparation that many Christians in the Western Church go through, typically about 4 weeks. And the best, in terms of scholarship, you know, where did Advent come from? The best answer that liturgical scholars give is that somewhere around the 4th through the 7th centuries, there were these fasts that were taking place during the preparation for Epiphany. And these fasts came to be associated with, you know, this period before Christmas, you think December, early January, and that this, especially by the time of Gregory the Great, morphed into what the Western Church has called Advent. Now, the word Advent comes from the Latin adventus, and that means coming or arrival. And typically the focus of Advent isn't just Jesus's first coming when he came through the womb of the Virgin Mary as a baby, but also on his coming now by the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to reign and to rule, and looking forward to his future coming, what was promised by our Lord Jesus, that he's going to return bodily to judge the whole world. And so when we're thinking about the season of Advent, we're thinking about the comings, we might say, of Jesus. His coming at first as a baby, his coming now by the power of the Holy Spirit. You think of Jesus's words in the Upper Room Discourse where he talked about how he was coming to his disciples to be with them through the sending of the Holy Spirit, and the coming that we look forward to in the future, the final coming, the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these are highlighted during the various weeks of Advent. So the first Sunday of Advent early in December typically focuses on the second coming. It is sort of interesting that, you know, at least in the Western Church, many liturgical calendars begin with Advent. So Advent is the very beginning of the church year. And the first Sunday of the church year focuses on the last day in history, the second coming of the Lord Jesus, almost as if to say, you know, we're beginning by looking to the end. Usually passages like Matthew 24, Jesus's Olivet Discourse, are prominently featured on this Sunday, you know, where Jesus said, I am going to return as a thief in the night. Be watchful, be ready. And so that theme of watchfulness and vigilance is a part of Advent, and in particular, a part of the first Sunday in Advent. The second Sunday focuses on John the Forerunner or John the Baptist. Here, the theme is that of preparation for the coming of God. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5 says, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Gospels tell us that this voice is none other than that of John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for Christ's earthly ministry. So you think of, you know, what's said in places like Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, where Luke talks about the coming of this voice prophesied all the way back in Isaiah chapter 40. God speaking comfort to his people, a voice of one coming to prepare the way of the Lord. And that's precisely what John the Baptist did, is he made a way for Jesus. He prepared a way for Jesus there in the wilderness through the proclamation of the gospel, calling people to faith and repentance, setting the stage, as it were, for the coming of the Lord. And so in a real sense, too, we as the followers of Jesus today are called to prepare our own hearts to make way for his coming now by the power of the Holy Spirit, by turning away from our sins and the things that so easily distract us, and looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so you have this theme of vigilance and watchfulness, the first Sunday of Advent. Then you have this focus on preparing the way of the Lord, looking at John the forerunner and his ministry leading up to the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And the third Sunday of Advent typically focuses on joy. You think of passages like Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. Or consider what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Note how Paul ties together the advent of the Lord is at hand, with joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And certainly it's this same kind of joy that attended the birth of our Lord Jesus when he came at first. The final week, or the final Sunday of Advent, focuses on the incarnation and the virgin birth. And so you think of passages like Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where the virgin birth was prophesied, or Luke chapter 1, where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a child. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. This child is going to be the Holy One, the Son of God. So we think about that great mystery of the incarnation, the Annunciation, you know, the angel making this announcement to the Virgin Mary that her son was going to be the Savior of the world. And indeed, Jesus, the Savior of the world, has come. And so as we look around and see still brokenness, you know, like that Thomas Hardy poem, poison gas, pandemics, you know, wars and rumors of war, it's easy to be discouraged. And maybe this Christmas season, this Advent season, you are discouraged because of things you're experiencing in your own life. Maybe brokenness in your family, a struggle with sin, or maybe it's just the weight of the things that are happening around you in the world. Those things are real. Advent reminds us that so was the coming of our Lord Jesus, and so is his presence with us now by the power of the Holy Spirit, and so is his coming to reign and to rule in the future on that last day when he returns to judge the whole world and to make things right. We have that great hope, and so we can wait with vigilance and we can wait with joy.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So begins one of the most beloved passages in the entire scripture. But how deeply do we grasp the heart of Psalm 23? This psalm is a celebration of our shepherd's care and comfort, especially during trials and suffering. It's also a humbling reminder that we're all, well, silly sheep. We're helpless and prone to wander. But above all, Psalm 23 calls us to find our greatest joy in knowing the Good Shepherd himself. Support the work of Sola with a gift of any amount before the end of the year, and as a thank you, we'll send you a hard copy cover of David Gibson's wonderful new book, The Lord of Psalm 23. Gibson's book helps us to trust and to praise the character of the Lord who leads us through this life's valleys and fulfills every longing in the green pastures of the life to come. Get your copy today with the gift of any amount at solamedia.org/offers. That's solamedia.org/offers.